Hi, welcome to Visual Studio Toolbox. I'm Robert Green, and today we are on location in Building 41 in this lovely conference room. And I have with me Lisa Feigenbaum and Carl Bertram, and they are part of the Project Compatibility V-Team, or Virtual Team. And so what we're going to do today is talk about project compatibility and what's new in Visual Studio 11 and how does it differ from what's in the current version. Why are they doing it? How does it work, etc.? So this kicks off our series where we will be talking about the next version of Visual Studio, Visual Studio 11. So welcome, Lisa and Carl. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
And thanks for having me. So let's talk about what a V-Team is. Why does Project Compatibility get a V-Team? How does it work? And then let's talk about a little bit about what's new in Project Compatibility, and then we'll go from there.
Sure. So I guess Carl and I can both start by kind of introducing what our primary roles are and then this V-Team that we're working in to achieve Project Compat in VS 11. So we're both part of the Visual Studio engineering team. I'm a community program manager.
And so I'm Carl Bertram. I'm a tester working on this V-Team.
Yeah, and we have V-Teams when we're trying to accomplish a certain mission or tenant or initiative across Visual Studio. This was a very large initiative across the organization. And so we've established it with where we have a tenant owner. So Paramesh is the director working in our team. I'm the tenant driver, and so I'm kind of driving the coordination across teams. Carl is working in tests. Yeah, as a being a consulting role for different teams in testing. And then we have, in addition to the leadership team, the core group, then we also have a whole group of champs. So as part of our larger V-Team, there are champions in each of the different organizations. And they're ensuring project compatibility for WPF, or for C++, or for MVC. All the different technologies are involved in this virtual team.
So when you say tenant, What does that mean?
Sure. So for something like compatibility that we want to drive, again, across the org, we've decided to create a set of tenants. And so that ensures that it's something that we can apply with consistency across the organization. So some examples of these would be accessibility or globalization, localization, extensibility. So these are, you know, things that we need for our product quality and things that we want to deliver to customers, and they really don't work unless we have that kind of strong coordination across the entire organization.
Okay, because there's no project compatibility product team per se. It's a feature in the sense that it is something the product does, but it's spread across multiple areas.
The difference kind of is like the feature teams focus on areas that have C++ and then the shell team, mm-hmm. and then with the tenants is stuff that cuts across all the features, and so it's really too broad for any small group of people.
Right.
So we work kind of at select people from all the feature teams, and they kind of push it out through all the feature mm-hmm. work.
So you mentioned accessibility and globalization. Those are great candidates for a V-Team, and project compatibility is now... Is this the first release where there's been a V-Team that's been a tenant like this?
Sure. Well, there's been different aspects of Compat, right, that we deliver in the product. And so, you know, for example, in the compilers, like in the C# compiler, we want to make sure that from release to release we're maintaining compatibility. If we're going to make something obsolete, then we do that over a series of stages. But there's high bar for compat testing. That would be part of our runtime testing. And here in the VS 11 design time compat group, what we're ensuring is not just that you can upgrade to the next version, but we also want to make your projects so that they can be used in both versions.
So up through Visual Studio 2010, compatibility meant you opened up a project in a previous version, a wizard or came up and told you basically, guess what, this is now a 2010 project and you can't go back, and now it works in 2010, and so it's compatible because it doesn't work in the previous version and it works in the current version. So, right, why do you need a V-Team for that?
Yeah, so this is one of the huge things.
I love the leading question.
Yeah, this is one of the big customer asks that we've got, and so for the larger teams, this has kind of been adoption blocker, because what it's been in the past is the whole team had to upgrade at one time.
Right.
And so it was like all 2008, they all had to move to 2010. Now what we're enabling is that you can have part of your team working in 2010, part of your team working in vNext. And this is going to allow the larger teams to kind of roll out the deployments on their schedules.
Mm-hmm. And so this is at the IDE or project level. It's not so much language features. Obviously, if you use some of the new async keywords and whatnot, those won't compile in the previous version. This is primarily at the project level, right?
Right. So there are some cases, that's true. If you go ahead and you start using a language feature that depends on .NET 4.5, something like async, mm-hmm. then when you use 4.5, we can't support 4.5 in Visual Studio 2010. So in that case, yes, that's true that you'll still be able to have the project. Let's see, you won't be able to have a round trip, actually, if you're using 4.5. Sorry, you'll have to down target. If you down target to 4.0, then
right.
you'll still be able to open in 2010. So let me step back for a sec, actually. In 2010, one thing that we enabled was multi-targeting.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was the ability, right, that you could have your project target different versions of the framework.
Right.
And I think after we enabled that, which was also a request, then the next question was, okay, now that I have the ability to down target so that I know that that target framework will be available on both versions of Visual Studio, why can't I open it?
Yeah, so how helpful was the multi-targeting for the scenario where there's a new version of the product but not everybody's on it?
Well, I mean, multi-targeting still helps for deployment, right?
Mm-hmm.
You could ensure that your deployment wasn't changing when you moved to the new version of the tools because you're still shipping the same version of the framework.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, multi-targeting solved a slightly different problem, which it would allow everybody to upgrade but then still build and deploy against older runtimes.
Okay.
Where
right.
this is
so
allowing
more of a runtime.
Yeah, exactly.
Issue. Okay.
So it was kind of it was a nice step to kind of lead us here, and we used a lot of that same kind of testing knowledge, but they targeted different scenarios.
Okay. So walk us through how it works. I mean, literally what happens and how you made it happen.
Okay, so basically in the beginning of the product cycle, one of the things we do is we introduce side-by-side. And this is where we do a lot of technical changes to really kind of rebrand, or so to say, like change all the paths to the new version, update everything to say, you know, vNext versus 2010. And when you do that, what happens is this kind of, you have to move everything forward, right? And at that point, you can see the incompatibilities. And so one of the big areas where we had a problem was the project files all had, you know, 2010 in the paths, or framework 4.0 or something like that. And when we went through the side-by-side and changed all those paths, we said, okay, well, this is probably going to be a problem for compatibility moving back and forth. So at the project level, what we did is we introduced version tokenization into the project target files. And then so when you open the project in each version, these paths get substituted in, and then this allows the project to work in both versions. And so in order to enable that, we have a new project compatibility dialog. So as you open the project, you get this dialog. It'll go in and tokenize your project files, and then this enables the round tripping. So as part of that, we had to introduce a little work in 2010 SP1.
Okay.
So the round tripping for certain project types that required this version tokenization will only work between 2010 SP1 and vNext.
For certain types, but not all?
So some of the projects, you kind of got lucky and it just works, right?
Okay.
So this is like VB Web Forms or something, or WinForm. I mean. Now Web Forms, like ASP Web Forms, they had target files that had the version strings, and they required the tokenization.
Okay.
So it was kind of when we, as each feature team went through this process of evaluating how do my assets upgrade, then they came in and some landed where it just works, other landed
okay.
in the minor.
Well, we obviously recommend everybody be on Service Pack 1 anyway, so.
Hopefully.
Assuming that you're running 2010 Service Pack 1, then you can take a project that was written in 2010, open it in 11, no wizard, no upgrade, or what was it called? Project?
The upgrade wizard.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe it would be, we could kind of take a step back and kind of look at the different matrices of
okay.
what we're enabling here. So like you mentioned in previous versions, right, 05, when I move from 05 to 08, I would get the upgrade wizard, and then that would become an 08 project. 08 to 2010, and that becomes a 2010 project. Now, if I have my 2010 project and I open it in VS 11, and there's a number of these cases where it's really the ideal, what we're trying to achieve here is that it just opens. So the C#, WinForms, project, right? You had a VS 2010 version, you open it in VS 11, it the same experience as if you were opening it in 2010. It just opens,
mm-hmm.
nothing happens there. And then, like Carl was saying, then you can go ahead and you can open it back in VS 2010 SP1. So that's kind of the round trip. So you could start from a 2010 project, but
right.
to go up and then come back down, you have to open it in SP1, and that's because we needed to make some updates in SP1 in order to enable that.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah.
So the project could originally be created in 2010 or 2010 SP1. It's
right.
when you're round tripping, it has to round trip back to SP1.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then sometimes I get a lot of questions around this too, where people are really excited to take advantage of this and kind of asking, well, can we enable this for earlier versions? And that would require an update, of course, to 08, for example, in order to be able to open again
right.
in 08. So that's why we do have that requirement of Dev 10 or 2010 SP1. But it is our, you know, this is kind of a multi-release feature that we need to lay out. And so as we go forward, now that we have this concept of Project Compat, we'll be working on how can we continue to do that going forward.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of similar to multi-targeting where, you know, we started with .NET 2.0. You couldn't go down to 1.0, right? We have to start somewhere, and then in future versions, we can continue to allow you to target back.
Yep. And the other part of it has just been like feature testing, right? So as the new features are being developed or as old features are being maintained, it's just making sure that things work. And we constantly get bugs where the round tripping breaks and then we have to change what we're doing in Dev 11
mm-hmm.
to match the compatibility with the previous version.
So is project compatibility literally the project? Does it also include the designers and service references and things like that? Or is it really just projects themselves?
Go ahead. Well,
so when you say designers, maybe you could elaborate a little bit more.
So a Visual Studio 2010 C# WinForms project.
Right.
If I open that in 11.
Right.
And then to open it in 11, is it a question of working with the project file and you're going backwards? When you go backwards, is it just about the project file? Does it rely on the designer as well? So, you know, maybe WinForms isn't a great example because
designer
didn't change so much. But there's been enhancements in the WPF designer.
Mm-hmm.
So, to open a WPF project that was built in 2010 in 11 and then go backwards, did you have to account for the differences in the designer?
Right. So, absolutely, designers are
okay.
a huge part of this, and that's
mm-hmm.
we're focused on the design time experience. And so, it's not good enough for us to say, "Okay, the VS 11 teammate can open the project, but they can't do anything with it, and then just hand it back to the
mm-hmm.
VS 2010 person to continue working on it." We really want to enable that scenario where they can continue collaborating together and really can have a productive experience in both IDEs.
Right.
Yeah. So we weren't able to get full compatibility against all features and all project types. So there are some exceptions,
mm-hmm.
but in the supported scenarios, it should be all the features that work in the previous version work in the new version, and vice versa. So all the designers, we focus on project compat, just because that's kind of where the majority of the problems surfaced,
right.
and that's what the kind of the customer views it as of this project or this solution. But it's all the assets in the project that
okay.
are also supported.
Things like WPF Designer, Silverlight Designer, Expression Blend, Workflow Activity Designer, all of that's part of this.
Okay. So I guess that leads to a question. Obviously, there were no Metro-style apps in the previous version, but do you anticipate, and you know, if the answer is we don't know yet, do you anticipate going from Visual Studio 11 to Visual Studio whatever comes after 11? Obviously, you'd want compatibility for the Windows 8 Metro style apps as well. Is it essentially the same types of things, project, structure, designers, etc.?
So you're asking what will the plan be from VS 11 to the next version of Visual
yes.
Studio? Right. So
VS 12, we'll call it, just because 12 comes after 11.
Yeah, so, I mean, obviously, we've heard a lot of feedback. People wanted this feature. We think it's very important, which is why we set up this massive V-team and initiative to support it. So I think now we have this concept of Project Compat, and we would like to continue that going forward.
Okay.
And I think we're going to, of course, we're going to work with users to see, now that we've enabled it, how are they using it, right?
Exactly.
So we're going to be really looking once we release to see how is this being utilized, and then next release, I expect once that planning begins, we'll have a new landscape to examine to evaluate what we need to do for the next release.
And a lot of the work to support this from 2010 to 11 was to make everything more generic. And by making these, by the tokenization of the project files and making things more generic, hopefully that means 11 and 12 kind of comes a lot easier.
Right, sure.
Yeah. It's kind of true in general for our architecture. As we change our requirements release to release, then the way we architect changes, and so having this as a concept that people are familiar with changes the way that they think about, creating new features now.
Yeah.
So let's walk through some scenarios of different project types, and without necessarily doing them all, but let's take a representative sample and talk about what people can expect.
Sure. Yeah, I think this is interesting because, so as a community PM, it's been interesting hearing from the community about all their requests for this and then actually implementing it with the team. And I feel like sometimes when people ask for this, they might be surprised by what does that actually mean or what was I asking for, So like when we first talked about setting this up, you talked about, well, project compat, isn't that just, can't we do that in 2 seconds? Just compat.
Yeah.
what is there to talk about?
It's just changes to the project file, then you should be able to do it by hand, right? And then that's how you get 2008 and 2005 support, because you just go and change the project file.
And then, when you start looking at all these different project types and the fact that they depend on different runtimes and different database versions, it's like, well, what do you really mean by compat?
Mm-hmm.
So I think we can go ahead and walk through a few examples, and I think it's interesting to think about, well, to accomplish this scenario, or again, going back to the scenario we're trying to achieve is the VS 2010 and VS 11 users being able to work side by side, what do you really want, and which database do you want to be on? And okay, so let's see. So we can start, because we mentioned databases, we can start there. So let's say I have a connection. Okay, there's a remote data scenario and a local data. Start with locals, because that's one of the more complex ones, that we can get that one out of the way. So if I have a project that has a local MDF file, I'm using SQL Server 2008 R2 Express, and then I take that project and I go ahead and move to VS 11.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so again, my project remains compatible, and in VS 11, I have the right UI so I can continue to be targeting SQL Server 2008 R2 Express. So we can still be working together in this model. I can download that version of SQL on my VS 11 box with this teammate working over here. And I can, of course, I already have it on my 2010 box. So we're compatible.
Okay.
Now let's say that I want to actually upgrade to the next version of SQL, right? Because there's LocalDB that's offered and SQL 11.
Correct me if I'm wrong, is what's installed by default.
Yep.
You install the 11 developer preview, you get SQL Denali.
That's right.
Express.
And so at one point that I might decide, okay, now I want to upgrade databases. And so now let's start using the next version of SQL. Now I need to install an update on my 2010 machine.
Mm-hmm.
Install that update, and then again we can start sharing on the new version of the database. Yeah. So that's an example of what does it mean to be compat. So, you can be compat on either version of SQL.
Right. So how much of that is a Visual Studio thing versus a SQL thing? Because I've seen on way more occasions than I'm happy with, I open a project that was built with a previous version of SQL Server, and I happen to have a newer version of SQL Server, and I get a message about how this database is a previous version of SQL Server, and it gives me a 4-digit number that I don't necessarily recognize because, of course, all I know are product numbers.
Right.
Does this, and that's a, is that a SQL issue? Is that a Visual Studio issue you were able to address?
Well, we can't solve all of those problems
because
a lot of it is, you have the IDE, then you have the platforms, you have the runtimes, and we focus primarily on what's in the box, and then our main kind of customer experiences outside of that.
Mm-hmm.
And the round trip is going to work best when your platforms, for example, say like your version of SharePoint or your version of SQL Server is consistent throughout the team. When you get in these scenarios where you want to have someone targeting one version of a platform versus another and then different versions of the ID, you're going to hit some issues. And so we can't solve all the problems. We're focusing on the core ones and trying to make those main paths through the through the cycle work well. And then we're kind of, what we're working on a lot is the documentation and improving, just to make it more discoverable to the users when they hit these issues, what's the way that they can make this work.
Right.
So I can add, just adding on to that, a few more details on the SQL case that you were bringing up about that error message. That message when you get a mismatched database, yeah, that's when your connection string is for a different version of the database than what you actually have installed in the box. And so
Right. When
you're asking, is that a SQL or a VS thing? Right. So that's a SQL. That's a SQL thing. So that's at runtime when it's trying to run, it's not finding that match. And so, right, so there's not changes there. So again, when I take my SQL Server 2008 R2 Express connection, I try to run that on VS11 because VS11 has local DBE, and SQL 11 by default, it will see the mismatch, right? So then I would get an error, and then I would have to download that same version of SQL on that box if I want to keep SQL Server 2008 R2 Express. So that's kind of, it's somewhat reasonable, right, because you need to have that version there. And so from the compat side, what we're really trying to do is just enable a way for you to continue working together targeting that version of SQL. And so in this tenant, there is VS work happening because, like Carl is saying, we're trying to give visibility into what the options are. So when you go to actually connect to your MDF file, we'll give it a message saying, would you like to upgrade your database because you have an option to upgrade to SQL 11,
mm-hmm.
or would you like to stay on this version of SQL and actually install SQL Server 2008 R2 Express on this machine?
Okay.
And so that's really the work that we're doing here when Carl's mm-hmm. talking about making sure it's clear and having good documentation. So the runtime side is the same. VS, we have the tooling so that we can enable you to round trip on either version of SQL, and then we just make it possible.
Yeah, exactly. So we'll have some issues where if you go in the IDE and you do something at design time, we can prompt the user and tell them, okay, here's what's happening, here's how you resolve it. You open the same project and just hit F5, well, now you go in runtime, and, well, those, you know, those pop-ups aren't in the runtime experience.
Sure.
So it's we're trying what we can, but mm-hmm. there's definitely some corner cases there where mismatched platforms and runtimes.
Okay. So the scenarios include VB, C#, C++, client-side apps, ASP.NET.
Sure, so we could talk about ASP.NET. That would be another good example. Mm-hmm. So do you want to talk about the experience there?
So ASP.NET web forms is going to be the what we're calling a minor upgrade. And you open it, and you'll get the upgrade dialog. And this is the tokenization of the project file. It should be a one-time dialog when you first open the solution. And after that, it's just going to round trip, no prompt. So we have a really good story around web forms. MVC for 3 and 4, which is what's going to ship in the box with vNext, that's the final release. And so those are going to round trip fine, right?
Yeah.
So you can, those will be available for both Visual Studio 2010 and VS 11, and on MVC 3 and 4, you're fine. Now, 2, so 2 and 3 are both out right now, and the MVC 2 to 3 experience isn't quite as seamless, so MVC 2 is not going to be supported in the next version, and so what you need to do is an upgrade from 2 to 3,
Okay. And
then you can round trip on 3.
Okay.
So that's kind of the story around that.
So then that kind of begs the question, what happens when 5 comes out?
Well, it's always speculative, but just looking at other frameworks, some things that we usually has happened in the past is there's eventually a point where you cut off support for the previous version, and then you round trip on a certain supported. It's usually like a version plus one or a version minus one is what we're kind of targeting.
Okay.
So you always have some overlap path
right.
to round trip.
Okay.
But whether it's 5 or 6 or 7, at some point there'll be a version that doesn't work on
mm-hmm.
2010, and at that point you're looking at VS11, VS12 compatibility.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so the first example, Carl mentioned the ASP.NET one. I almost think of that one. It's pretty similar to the WinForms one. You will receive this dialogue, but I really think about it like in Word, when you go to a newer version of Word and you get a dialogue that says, would you like to maintain compatibility?
Right.
And you just say yes. Like that's really all that's happening there. We're going to update the web.config file. There's nothing really interesting happening to your project that's going to change how it runs. So that's a pretty good experience,
mm-hmm.
I think. You just say okay, and then you're working together, and you're compatible. And then, like Carl was saying, for MVC 3, MVC 4, that continues. For MVC 2 to 3, the reason why we had to provide this out-of-band tool in order to make that change is because the upgrade wasn't as direct, and so we want to ensure that where there are decisions that people might need to make about how they upgrade, that it's clear to them what's happening.
Mm-hmm. And 3 is available now, so it's,
right.
You know, we're hoping that the majority of the MVC users are kind of looking at that 2 to 3 upgrade currently. And so by the time we release VS 11, they can be on kind of the supported round trip.
Yeah, you definitely, I think people would expect that there's going to be a floor, right? So, for example, Visual Studio 2010 SP1 is your bar to play in this space. And obviously, there's got to be a particular version of MVC. I was just kind of thinking that, you know, theoretically, there will be a version of MVC 5 that works with the S11. And so, what happens if you're on a project that you're sharing between 2010 and 11, and then a brand new version of the framework comes out?
Yeah, so that's kind of the tenet we're really looking at is backwards compatibility. So the new version works with the old version.
Mm-hmm.
And then they have this other compatibility, which is forward compatibility.
Yeah.
The features that are added in the new version work with the old version. And so it's the same thing with, say, .NET 4.5, right? If you create a .NET 4.5 project, that won't work in VS 2010. So it'll be the same with MVC 5. I'm not sure about 5, the specifics on those, which product, which version. But at some point, what will happen is you'll target the framework or the runtime that's not supported. Then when you load that project in the previous version, it shows up as unloaded, and then you have a message that says, you know, this project's incompatible with this version of Visual Studio.
Yeah, but when you're talking about, you know, establishing what that floor is, the interesting thing with MVC and some of these other project types, because they're revving on such a quick cycle, right? It really begs the question of, well, how far back do we go? And once we do RTM VS11, you know, what version will people be on? So although in the CTP time frame, we do still see, you know, MVC 3 is out, but we still see people on 2. Once we get to RTM, we will be further along, so that will become less of an issue.
Sure.
And then that also kind of brings us into Silverlight, because Silverlight also has been on a quicker cadence, and we established a similar kind of N-1 algorithm that Carl was talking about, where 4 and 5 are compatible across VS 2010 and VS 11. But if you go back to 3, then you'll need to upgrade that to either 4 or 5 to work together.
Okay, so 4 is the floor.
And we really use the telemetry, the SWIM, so it's the CEIP data that we get, and then the customer feedback really helps drive these decisions. So if all the users come out and say, no, we're on MVC 2, this is the most important thing to us, then it really helps drive prioritization of what do we really need to support here and what's the appropriate experience for each of these.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so this Channel 9 video in the comment feed is a good place to leave your feedback, because we have been working with a lot of customers. We've had enterprises come in and actually try out their solutions, both on VS 2010 and VS 11. We've hosted a number of live meetings, working through different folks' scenarios. So we are very much interested to hear from you on, you know, what your solution structure is like and how this will work for the technologies that you're working with in 2010 as you move forward to VS 11.
So would the appropriate place be Connect or User Voice? Where would people...
Connect would be if they're experiencing a bug in VS 11 dev preview, then absolutely that's a great place for that. If it's a feature suggestion, then User Voice is the place where we're collecting suggestions. If it's just a question about how this works, the forums.
And leading up to any of our releases, we look at Twitter and blog posts and comments on, you know, Jason Zander's blog or Brian Harry's blog usually get routed, surprisingly.
If you're not sure, then you can just add a comment. If you're not sure where to post, then add a comment at the end of this feed, and we'll keep an eye.
I'm sure that will happen.
We monitor all the
channels.
We've
had some interesting conversations on the comments on these videos, so absolutely encourage that. Anything else you want to cover?
Let's see. The one... example that we were also thinking of talking about is C++.
Mm-hmm.
So again, this is a case where we are enabling teams to work together across VS 2010 and VS 11. There are some details about how to set it up. In this case, we actually need, on the box that has VS 11, we need 2010 to be installed there side by side. So that's an additional requirement that we have for C++. And again, you know, we'd love to hear about
same version or any version.
As far as SKU, or what kind
well,
of
what if, let's say I've got Ultimate, do I need Visual Studio 2010 Ultimate, or can I...
This is more about the headers and the tool chains, and so Pro and Up will have that. Even, I think, Express most likely has the tool... I don't know about Express, but definitely Pro and Up will have the tool chains, and the headers, the libs, and all that type of stuff.
Got it.
So the other thing I was going to mention then is that, so what we do internally for verification is, obviously this is a really huge effort, and we try to, you know, to create these customer scenarios to say, well, what are we the likely things we're going to hit? But we can kind of only do so much, and so we really depend on the customer feedback for this. So the feedback from the developer preview, that's a little bit earlier version of it, but that was useful, but definitely coming up into beta.
Earlier version.
I mean, earlier.
You.
Yeah, earlier.
We have a current version at this point.
We have a lot of changes that are going to be coming out in the future for this.
Okay.
So. the beta feedback is going to be incredibly valuable. So definitely anybody who thinks that this is an important space for them, get the beta version, run through their upgrade scenarios, give us feedback, and make sure that that we're getting that feedback.
I think it's a very important scenario. I think it's a great thing to be able to do. It doesn't force the all-or-nothing upgrade.
Yeah, a few things, if folks are using the CTP, a few things to be aware of and to look for in the beta in the next release. So we talked about, you know, sometimes when you go ahead and you open in VS 11, in some of these cases you might get a message, new dialogue that's telling you, okay, we need you to upgrade to remain compatible. There's a new dialogue in beta compared to the dev preview, so that will be something people are evaluating the current experience, they'll see changing. Other things include things like MVC wasn't actually in VS 11 dev preview. It was just chained in as a separate download. And so, of course, that experience will be different because you won't have to get the separate out-of-bound download once you're in beta.
Right.
So, and then, you know, usual bug fixes, some tweaking of the C++ experience, the UI after usability feedback, just making the messages more clear. So that's like... Carl's talking about the current builds that he's testing are really taking into account a lot of the feedback we saw in the dev preview, so we're definitely looking forward to hear what people think about beta.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Definitely.
Great. So this sounds like a wonderful addition to the product, and thanks for taking the time to talk about it.
Mm-hmm. The response we usually get from the customer is, finally. What took so long?
Yeah, I was in... So Robert participates in, we have a technology adoption program where a number of enterprises participate in adopting the next version of Visual Studio, and that's really where you see this issue coming up a lot, right? Because as one part of the team starts to move to the next version, all of a sudden they can't work with the whole rest of the company. And so I remember being in one meeting about this where someone asked, you know, when are we going to do this? And the whole room stood up and requested it. So it's definitely been... requested quite a bit, and so I'm excited about the amount that we're biting off with this release. Sure, there's exceptions. I think we've gone through all the guts and details of it here, but I really feel like at the core there's a lot of value that's being provided here, and we'll continue to keep tabs on where this is helping people, how they're using it, and how we can continue to innovate.
All right. Thanks a lot. Hope you guys enjoyed this, and we'll definitely do more of these types of interviews on future episodes of The Toolbox. So we'll see you then. Bye.